So Lou, what was yours, Kylie?
Mike Wazowski from
Oxford City. Oh, okay, all right. Well, Paul didn't start out being called Paul, right? What was he called? And he was called Saul. Who do you think he was named after? King.
Solomon.
Yeah, not Solomon. King Saul. Although that sounds good. It could have been. You never know, right? He's probably about 20 years old. When we're introduced to him, he just comes out of nowhere, right? Nobody's expecting him to come. He's raised and educated a Jew, right? And man, was he ambitious. He's like one of those up-and-comers that sometimes are an organization that'll run over you just to be able to get to the top. And he has this deadly combination of attributes, kind of like the Crusades were. He's right, and he doesn't care. He's doing whatever he can. He wants to be up in the temple, right? And you do that by proving yourself, right? He's a steam engine that's running full straight ahead that wants to persecute those Jesus freaks, you know, those people that are following Jesus, right? He was intensely hated by a whole lot of people, maybe not hated as much as Martin Shkreli, you know, that guy that took a $13.50 pill and took it to like, what, $5,000 or whatever, $750, right? And then he stood up and said, well, that's okay. I'm making money. I'm doing my job, right? Right? He even volunteers to lead Stephen's stoning. I mean, what kind of a man would say, let me stone him to death. Let me lead that, right? You know? And then he gets even more power. He says, hey, let's do this big persecution. I'm going to go to the Sanhedrin. I'm going to get letters for the churches at Damascus, and I'm going to ask them to let me go persecute all the Jews there, all those Jesus followers. We called it the Way, by the way. Those Jesus followers are there, you know, and that's what he does. He wants to go to Damascus. He's going to go and drag them all back to Jerusalem so they can be punished. He sounds pretty fanatical, doesn't he? I mean, none of us would ever be like that, would we? And then I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe there has been times in our life. I mean, maybe you're one of those that really did want to get ahead, and you might have been willing to pull a few tricks or say a few things about somebody else so you could get that promotion and somebody else didn't. Or maybe you decided, I'm the best mom in the world, right? And then when that teacher accused your kid of doing something, there's no way that your child would ever have done anything like that. And you go to the principal, right, to talk to him about it. That's never happened, has it, Johnny? We know it hasn't, right? You know? Or maybe it was putting somebody down or talking about somebody behind their back. Anything so that you're the one that looks good. You know, blind ambition, which is what I think Paul had. Blind ambition and thinking you're right. Totally right about something else is a really bad combination, you know. So Saul's on his way to Damascus, right? He's going to punish those people for his truth, right? Not that we've ever had our truth, right? And what happens? He gets knocked down, right? Has this blinding light come on him, and Jesus speaks in these big words and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Extroverts have to have a really big thing happen, or they just don't get it. I've decided that, right? You know? And so, you know, and he begins to see that he's blind in more than one way because the light took away his what? His sight. But he also begins to understand that he's spiritually blind. So here's this big, fierce guy, and he's being led because he can't see to go down a street called Straight in Damascus, right? And I thought, you know, we've never had problems like that. Although I have to think back many, many years ago and I think about what I thought about maybe African Americans or what I thought about gays and lesbians or what I thought maybe about immigrants. Have there not been times when we thought that we were right? Be humbly told by Christ that you've never been more wrong. So 3 days he's in darkness. You know what that reminded me of? Who else was kind of in darkness for 3 days? before he was raised up. Yeah, Jesus, that's right, you know. And he realizes that his desire to serve God has been distorted by his own blind ambition, his failure to look at what he believed and why he believed it, right? His failure to truly listen to God. He listened to everybody else, especially to himself, I'm sure. So meanwhile, God is working with another, what I call unlikely player, Ananias, right? And so God goes to Ananias. Oh, by the way, you should know that Ananias is one of those that Paul's probably going to persecute and put in prison. Put that in that perception, right? He goes to Ananias and says, Ananias, get up. I want you to go to Paul, and I want you to pray over him, and he's going to do these great things. And Ananias, I'm sure, looked at him and said, well, yes, Lord, I'm sure I'll do that. What do you think he said? No way, not going. He's persecuting us. He's killing. You think I'm going to go do that? No way. And I thought to myself, I have a feeling I would have said the same thing. In fact, I have said the same thing before. When God has come to me and said, I want you to do so and so. And I said, no, I don't think I want to. I'm not going to go. Lord, you ever been there? Anybody here ever done that? Where God said, you better get over there, you know? And I say, well, God, why would I even want to do that? I got a good, comfortable job. I like where I'm living. I like the people I'm... Why would I want to do that? No, you need to go to Afghanistan or Peru or wherever it would be. Maybe Alaska. I don't know. You know, God does these things. And so he's working on Ananias. And Ananias could have what? He could have said no, right? He could have not gone, but he didn't. Ananias said, begrudgingly, I bet, yes, Lord, I will go. If he hadn't gone, nobody would have known he never went. Of course, he wouldn't have probably been in the Bible. They didn't tend to say that. And the Lord went to him and he said, no, I'm not going to do that. Although I would have liked that more often because then I would have felt at home. But Ananias goes, and what happens? He not only cures Paul of his blindness, but what else does he tell him? He gives Paul his calling. And because Ananias was willing to go there, the world, as we know it, was changed. Do you think Ananias was blessed by that? Well, not really. He never gets mentioned again in the Bible. There's nothing in there that ever says he was happy, but I think he was, and that taught me one of the lessons that we'll talk about at a later date with Ananias. Blessings follow obedience. We quite often think that we should pray for blessings, and when we get it, we will obey God, but that's not the way it is in the Bible. The Bible's very clear, obedience first, and blessings will follow, right? So we're sitting here thinking about this, and so here's Paul. He's now been converted. So the person who was the persecutor is now what? He's being persecuted, and don't you know, I mean, he's a turncoat, right? Isn't that what they would have called him? That's treason to the Jewish people, right? So you know that they turned on him because he has to escape and run away for 3 years to Arabia. Out in the wilderness. Can you imagine an extrovert in the wilderness for 3 years? It couldn't have been a pretty picture. I bet he spoke to himself the whole time. But he did spend this time, you know, thinking about, who's this Jesus? How could he have been the Messiah? Putting that theology together, beginning to do his prayers, and then I think that beginning to rethink everything, and I'm thinking looking at his life and say, where did I go wrong, Lord? Because God has a way of doing that to us. God has a way of humbling us. If we don't humble ourselves, it'll happen eventually, right? So after 3 years, he is chomping at the bit. He can't wait to get back so he can get started doing something, right? So he excitedly runs back to Jerusalem. He finds Barnabas, talks to him. He says, get me going, Lord. And you know what happened? Barnabas put him in a boat and sent him home to live with his parents. Making not beautiful letters, not making preaching. He's making tents. is what we think. And he's there a long time. God leaves him. You know how long God leaves him there? 10 years! He's sitting there thinking, did I dream this up? I know that's what I would think. Did that really happen to me? Did God really call me just to leave me like this? And I thought, yeah. God does that sometimes, right? God's timing with Paul is just like it is with us most of the time, you know? And he's not making Christians. He's making these tents, and God's timing is just not there. He had to have wanted to give up. Have you ever been there? When God has clearly called you to do something, and you keep saying, come on, God, just give me a hint. Give me a little something so I know what I'm doing here, you know? Maybe I'm wrong to have this dream, you might think. Maybe I think I'm never going to get married, or I'm never going to have that child. I know you promised this stuff, God, but it's just not happening. I'll just go back to tent making, right? Here's one thing I have learned. That's when God usually sends somebody. I call them an encourager. That's what Barnabas was to Paul, you see. He was an encourager, because after this 10 years, Barnabas, who's in Syrian Antioch, his church has just gone huge. It's gotten really, really big. And I think the Holy Spirit went and whispered a name in his ear. And guess what that name was? Paul, right? So Barnabas goes, and he gets Paul, and he brings him back to Syria. And it reminded me how important it is to have an encourager, because you see, Barnabas was the best encourager you could have if you're going in the ministry. Maybe some of you have had it in your life where he's just this great Christian. He's down to earth. He's willing to work with you and tell you where you need to grow. You know, he's kind. He's encouraging. His churches are growing. The perfect encourager. But it reminded me of one more thing. It reminds me that God never forgets our dreams. His timing might be different, but he doesn't forget. So after 10 years, here's Barnabas calling Paul, and Paul is coming, you know. And I have, you know, no doubts that during this time that God was whispering to Paul that it will be all right, but Paul had to wait. Paul had to wait till the time was right. And that's something I'm not very good at. How about you? So there's two things I want you to take with you today as you come out of here. The first one is, be careful of blind ambition. It can happen any time in your life. It can happen when you're 20, 30, 40, 50. It can happen to you when you're 70 years old, you know. It can drive you to do things you never thought that you would do. And if we all look at our life and we're truthful, wouldn't that be true? Aren't there things we've all done in our life for the sake of making more money or having more friends or whatever it might be that we did things that we're ashamed of today? I bet all of us have a regret when it comes to that, right? You know, when we're young, that can happen. When we're old, that can happen. So you have to remember that. We have to remember that our call is not about us. It's not our call. It's God's call on our life. And our call is to do what? Who's it to glorify? It's to glorify God. But how do we spend our time most of the time doing? Glorifying ourselves, right? So we have to stop and think, where am I blind? Maybe not physically, but where am I emotionally blind or spiritually blind? And the second thing is, how are you responding to your call? You know, in one of his last letters, Paul was always telling a story, by the way, about when he was a persecutor, and he was the biggest sinner of all, he says. And he says he didn't despair, because coming to know and having Christ in his life allowed him to do these amazing things. What a difference God's call in his life had made. So if God could use a man like Paul, God can use every one of you to do great things in the name of Christ. So are you praying about your call from God? That's the other thing I want you to think about this week. Are you open to that prompting of the Holy Spirit that's calling you forth to do something that nobody else can do? So next week we're going to get back to Paul again, and we're going to discover that God's call sometimes comes, but it doesn't tell you what you're supposed to do. So we'll learn about that, because to follow God requires that we pay attention, that we stay in touch with God, that God will lead us on each way. So this week, prayerfully think about where you might be blind. Prayerfully think about where God is calling you to follow and to serve Christ. And the question is, are you following Christ, or is it something or someone else in your life?